Okay, so today we're diving into some pretty heavy stuff. We're going to be talking about the potential downfall of America. But I want to reassure you right off the bat, this isn't about like doomsday prepping or anything like that. We're approaching this deep dive from a place of just understanding potential challenges and looking at how different generations, specifically Gen Z and Gen X, might adapt. So the jumping off point for today's conversation is a blog post, and it's got this really thought-provoking title: Imagining the Downfall of America, Survival and Adaptation of Gen Z and Gen X. And just reading that title kind of gets the wheels turning.
Yeah, it definitely it makes you think. And I think it's important to note that the blog post doesn't necessarily predict a sudden collapse. It's more about looking at the the different factors, the
Yeah.
shifts and challenges that could gradually erode stability over time.
So, like, right off the bat, what does downfall even mean in this context? Are we talking about like a sudden, everything falls apart kind of thing? Or is it more of a gradual decline?
Right. Well, the blog post is careful to define that. It's not about one's specific catastrophic event. It's more about understanding the complex interplay of social, economic, and political challenges.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's not like, one day we wake up and everything's gone, but more like a series of events or trends that could lead to instability.
Exactly. It's about those underlying dynamics. And I think understanding them is actually empowering.
Right, because if you can see it coming, maybe you can do something about it. Now, the blog post makes some pretty bold historical comparisons, bringing up the Roman Empire and the Soviet Union. I mean, those are some heavy hitters. Are those comparisons really valid, or are we getting a little dramatic here?
Yeah, I mean, it's always tricky to make direct historical comparisons, but I do think there are some striking parallels worth exploring.
Like what? Give me an example.
Well, both the Roman Empire and the Soviet Union faced things like economic inequality, political instability, and a growing loss of public trust in their institutions. And those factors arguably played a significant role in their eventual decline.
So it's like history might not repeat itself exactly, but it definitely rhymes, as they say. Okay, so knowing that, what are some of the alarm bells ringing today that we should be paying attention to? The blog post mentions economic recession, political polarization, climate change, and social unrest. That's a lot to unpack.
It is. And what's particularly concerning is how interconnected these triggers are. We can't just address them in isolation.
So, like, how do those things connect?
Well, for example, imagine a severe economic recession. That could easily make existing political polarization even worse.
Right. People get scared. They start looking for someone to blame.
Exactly. And that can lead to social unrest. And then climate change, that's like a threat multiplier on top of everything else. It intensifies existing tensions and creates new challenges.
So we're not just dealing with these issues separately. They're all tangled up together.
Precisely. It's a complex web of interconnected challenges.
Okay, so that's the kind of, the doom and gloom part of the equation.
Yeah.
But the blog post doesn't just leave us there, right? It shifts gears to focus on how Gen Z and Gen X, the generations most likely to face these challenges head on, might actually adapt and even thrive.
That's right. And that's where things get really interesting.
Yeah, because you've got Gen X who experienced the Cold War, economic recessions, and a rapidly changing world. And then you've got Gen Z, who are digital natives. They've practically grown up with smartphones in their hands, and they're deeply engaged in social activism. So how do you see those contrasting experiences shaping their responses to a potential decline?
Well, each generation brings its own strengths to the table. Gen X, with all that experience navigating uncertainty, is known for its pragmatism and self-reliance.
Right, they're less likely to panic. They're more focused on finding practical solutions.
Oh.
Exactly. Then you've got Gen Z with their incredible tech savviness and a really strong collaborative spirit.
They're comfortable organizing and mobilizing online.
Right, and they're passionate about creating change.
So it's not about one generation being better than the other. It's recognizing that they each have valuable skills and perspectives.
Exactly, and that's where the potential for synergy lies. If they can combine their strengths, they can build resilience together.
Okay, so it's not about each generation going it alone. It's about finding ways to work together.
That's the key.
And that's where we'll pick up in part two of this deep dive. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. When we talk about these generational strengths coming together, it's easy to get caught up in the big picture. But let's zoom in for a second. In today's world, where everyone's so busy and often isolated, is this kind of collaboration, this community building, is it even realistic?
It's a good question. We're so used to, doing things on our own. This whole idea of like relying on others, it can feel, well, kind of uncomfortable for a lot of people.
Yeah, like we're supposed to be independent, self-sufficient.
Right. But the thing is, human beings are social creatures at their core.
We're wired for connection, for cooperation.
Exactly. And when things get tough, those connections become absolutely essential.
So community isn't just some like warm and fuzzy concept. It's a practical necessity for resilience.
Hmm. Think about it. What if the systems we rely on start to break down? Like, what if grocery store shelves are empty?
Yeah, that's a scary thought.
Wouldn't it be incredible to have a network of neighbors to rely on? People who are willing to share what they have?
Or even just like, you know, to offer support.
Exactly. And it's not just about material things. It's about skills, too.
Right. Like, if you need to learn how to repair something, maybe someone in your community already knows how to do that.
And you, the listener, you might have expertise in something unexpected, something that could become incredibly valuable in a time of need.
Like knowing how to fix electronics or having a green thumb.
Right. Think about how those skills could benefit a community.
It's about leveraging the collective knowledge and resources of the group.
And that's where the synergy between Gen Z and Gen X could be so powerful.
Gen Z, with their grasp of online platforms, they could connect people and resources.
And Gen X, with their experience in traditional forms of community organizing, they could translate those virtual connections into real-world action.
So it's like a perfect match.
It has the potential to be, yeah.
Okay, but community building, it sounds great in theory. But we live in a society that increasingly values individualism.
It's true. We do face some cultural hurdles.
So how do we overcome that?
Well, I think we can learn from recent history.
Like what?
Look at how communities rallied during the COVID-19 pandemic.
You're talking about those mutual aid networks.
Exactly. People were sharing resources, supporting their neighbors.
Rediscovering the power of human connection.
And it wasn't just about feel-good stories.
These were examples of community resilience in action.
Driven by a shared sense of need and purpose.
It's like that old saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Exactly. And don't forget the psychological benefits of strong communities.
Like what?
In times of uncertainty and upheaval.
Having a support network can make all the difference.
It reduces stress, promotes a sense of belonging.
Helps people cope with difficult situations.
It's essential for well-being.
Okay, so community building, it's not just a nice idea. It's an essential aspect of resilience. The blog post also talks about this possibility of a new economic landscape emerging, one where traditional systems might not be as reliable.
Right. It even mentions things like barter systems and local currencies.
That sounds a bit like, you know, something out of a history book.
It might seem like a throwback.
Do you really think that could become relevant again?
Well, it's certainly worth considering, especially if we're talking about a potential breakdown of existing structures.
Like a collapse of the financial system.
It's not out of the realm of possibility. Throughout history, when traditional currencies have become unstable, people have found alternative ways to exchange goods and services.
To meet their needs.
Exactly.
So it's like going back to basics.
In a way.
We talked about financial literacy earlier, but what if access to education and resources becomes limited? How can we ensure that everyone have the opportunity to develop those essential skills?
That's a crucial point, and it highlights the importance of community-based solutions.
Like what?
Imagine skill-sharing workshops organized within neighborhoods.
Or online resources made freely accessible to everyone.
Exactly. It's about creating a culture of shared knowledge.
Where everyone has the opportunity to contribute and benefit.
Precisely.
So it's not just about acquiring individual skills. It's about sharing them within the community.
Absolutely.
And think about the potential for Gen Z's tech skills here.
They could create platforms or apps to facilitate this exchange of knowledge.
To make it easier for people to connect and learn from each other.
It's all about leveraging technology for good.
It's fascinating how all these seemingly disparate ideas, like crepping, tech skills, community building, they're all interconnected when we think about resilience.
They are, and it's about finding those connections.
And this is where the conversation about alternative economies gets really interesting, because it forces us to ask, like, what is truly valuable?
It's about rethinking our priorities.
So we're not necessarily talking about bartering physical objects, like in some post-apocalyptic movie. It's about rethinking value and exchange in a broader sense.
Precisely. If traditional financial systems are strained, what other forms of capital become important?
Like what?
things like social capital.
The strength of your relationships and networks.
Exactly. Or your knowledge and skills.
Those could become incredibly valuable assets.
More valuable than money, potentially.
That raises an interesting question for you, the listener. What do you bring to the table? What unique skills or knowledge do you possess? That could become valuable in a time of crisis.
Start thinking about it now.
Because those assets could be vital to your community's well-being.
It's not just about surviving, it's about thriving. It's about using our collective ingenuity
to create a better future,
even in the face of adversity.
Okay, so we've talked about a lot of really like big picture stuff, historical parallels, you know, potential economic shifts, and it can feel a little overwhelming, right? But at the end of the day, I think we all want to know, what can we actually do? Like, what are some tangible steps we can take to prepare for this potential downfall?
Well, the good news is the blog post does offer some pretty practical advice. It talks a lot about developing skills that could be really valuable if, you know, if the systems we rely on start to become less reliable.
So like those old-fashioned skills we talked about earlier.
Exactly.
Gardening, basic home repairs.
Loop preservation, all that stuff.
I mean, is it really about like going back to some idealized past? Canning peaches and fixing leaky faucets?
Not necessarily. It's more about recognizing the value of self-sufficiency and resourcefulness.
Okay, so it was like having a backup plan.
Right. Imagine being able to grow some of your own food or repair your own clothes, even barter your skills for essential goods and services.
So it's not just about individual survival.
No, it's about strengthening your community, too.
Like, if you can share those skills with your neighbors.
Exactly. Teach a workshop at a community center. It's about empowering yourself and your community.
To be more resilient.
Right.
Now, we also talked about financial literacy, how important that could be in a shifting economic landscape.
Absolutely. Understanding how to manage your money, invest wisely, maybe even explore alternative currencies.
Okay, but what about those of us who aren't exactly, you know, financial wizards? Where do we even begin?
It doesn't have to be complicated. Start by just tracking your expenses for a month.
Okay, that seems manageable.
Just get a clear picture of where your money's going. That awareness is the foundation of financial resilience.
So what other practical advice does the blog post offer?
Well, the author really stresses the importance of building strong social connections.
So it's not enough to just prep our pantries and toolboxes. We need to prep our communities, too.
Exactly. Get to know your neighbors, volunteer, join local groups, things like that.
It's about building those relationships now.
Because those connections become invaluable in times of crisis.
So it's not about giving in to fear. It's about taking action.
Building resilience.
And remembering that we're not alone in this.
We have each other.
And that's a powerful force for positive change. Well, we've covered a lot of ground today, and I know you, the listener, probably have a lot to think about.
It's a lot to process, for sure.
But I want to leave you with one final thought. Imagine a crisis hits your community. What unique skills or knowledge do you bring to the table? What could you share, teach, or offer to help your community thrive?
It's a question worth pondering.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. And until next time, keep diving deep.